All right, so thanks everybody. This is, it's quite a long title like I was saying, but really today we want to look at a couple of tools that are coming into preview very soon. One of them is actually already in preview that are gonna help us migrate my metadata from legacy or alternative platforms into CRM Online, and then also load data into CRM Online because as we know, the data load we have today in CRM itself isn't really up to some of the tasks that we need it, and we often need a third party solution. And we're not discounting those at all, we're just trying to fill that bit in the middle, so we'll get to that as well. So just to give you a quick overview of what is Lifecycle Services, there are a couple of other sessions that are happening that will give you a much deeper look at Lifecycle. One tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., there's using ALM as a differentiator with Lifecycle Services, and there's also a theater reviewing Microsoft Dynamics Lifecycle Services at 1:45 tomorrow. So if you do want to find out more, there's those two. What I'll talk about today are the couple of tools that are really specific to CRM Online, which is the Metadata Migrator and the Data Loader. So just very, very quickly, what is LCS? If you've not heard of it, I mean, a lot of our AX partners and customers have heard of Lifecycle Services because it's been around for a while helping AX projects. But if you're coming from the CRM world, it may be a new concept. It's really just a place where it's an Azure-based platform, and it's going to help drive predictable, automated, and proactive delivery of Dynamics projects. That's its promise. And it does have, you know, a few different areas to it. So there are actually the definition, develop, and operate stages of a project. And there are a few different personas that LCS supports, from project management to the business analyst when they're doing definition of a project, to the developer developing code for these projects, and then also the IT administrator when they do operations of these projects as they come to life. So there is a lot of detail behind this, and like I say, if you want to dive into it, have a look at a couple of those other sessions. But we're actually going to leverage this platform to surface these other tools, just to keep it as a common user interface and a common place for you to go. I don't know why we're going backwards now. Sorry about that. So if we could start with the Metadata Migrator, really it's just an LCS, it's on LCS as part of our cloud service. It's going to help us connect what we call legacy technologies, maybe that are storing business applications, your Microsoft Access, your CRM4, and maybe even alternative platforms which aren't Microsoft owned. Having a look at that metadata and allowing us to use a web-based wizard to bring that metadata across into a new CRM Online instance through a generated solution. Now the idea being we want to allow you to bring over some of the legwork of typing out all these entities and attributes and relationships that you might have to in a project, maybe even quickly proof of concept things from one platform to another. We allow you to do analysis on the metadata we find as well using Power BI to try and give yourself a bit of a scope of maybe what is the task ahead of me when I want to do a metadata migration. And then we also help you generate CRM solution files that you can import into a CRM instance, and then you can see what it would look like maybe in CRM. Unfortunately, it doesn't take away the side of the equation where you have to do the analysis around the metadata itself and see whether or not it really should come across, whether it's something that's already out of the box and we need to map it a different way. But really, this just helps to automate some of the legwork you would have to do in that metadata migration. This is a preview today. So Metadata Migrator will be available in the preview program in the coming weeks. The way we're going to enable it is once you are in the preview, Lifecycle Services has its own private preview feature management area where you can go in and you can see all the preview features that are available. This is actually going to be a private preview. So what you'll do is you'll go ahead and press the little X button there, type in the code, which it jumped over, and then it will finish by giving you this private preview features of Metadata Migrator. That's what gets you into the program. So if you're looking for this, you get the URLs later and you've got the email saying you're in, you just need to go through this one step to make sure that you've got access. So this is all in the deck so that you can go download it later and make sure you've got kind of the steps you need to do. Okay, so let's have a quick look at how it works before we look at it in action. The Metadata Migrator itself is something you connect to, and it has three main functions. One is to connect to the source metadata, whatever that is. We want to analyze that metadata to find out what's available there. And then we also want to be able to map that metadata and generate real CRM solution files I can import into a new CRM Online instance. We haven't tested it, but it should work for CRM on-premise as well because it's just a base solution. But we're targeting CRM Online, so use at your own risk, but it should definitely work. What happens is we have a runtime in Azure, and we leverage a lot of Azure services and a lot of the stack to take some of this this work off from us having to build it again. So we're using things like Azure Key Vault to store credentials to these source systems we connect to, Azure SQL for storing the metadata so that we can go and have a look at it and analyze it, and things like the Azure App Services and Dynamics API app to go and push and pull data between these different systems. So we'll take a source piece of metadata, and we'll point it into the runtime. The runtime's going to go and have a look at that metadata based on what type it is. The user's going to be allowed to then connect through a Securo data endpoint and leverage something like a Power BI to go and analyze that metadata. So the runtime will, you know, give you the slices you need to go and break down that. We actually will provide some Power BI based templates for you, but you could then go ahead and look at using the OData endpoint to find whatever data you need. Once we're happy, we use the web interface to map the metadata. This mapping is stored within the runtime and allows you to reuse it. And once we generate the solution file, it takes that mapping and leverages one of our own CRM instances behind the scenes and automates all those laborious steps that you would have had to do to type out all that metadata and gives you back that CRM solution file. So everything in the dotted line boxes we've taken and kind of abstracted behind something that's a bit easier to work with. You can also iterate on this. So if you need to make a tweak once you've seen the CRM solution file in action, we give you both the unmanaged and the managed versions. So you might use a managed metadata file to see what it looks like and uninstall it again, and then rerun this with an iteration, change some of your mappings until you get to the point that you want. So maybe let's have a quick look at it. All right, 8. There's my reminder of the services that I was going to tell you about for yesterday. Okay. So I'm not going to go through the sign-up process for the preview steps, but this is Metadata Migrator. I know it's a little bit small to read. Maybe I can zoom in on that a little bit. So you'll see there's the things we've talked about. There's the actions where I can do some metadata extraction, work with my analysis, generate solution files. And you see here I've done a few before, and these have been completed. So if I just want to make sure this works properly, I'm going to press go on my metadata extraction. Now, this is where we're going to be selecting different data types and just giving it a name to allow us to start our project. So maybe I type in my demo and press next. I'm going to use Salesforce as an example. We've used this a couple of times just because we found the IP in different projects. We know customers go both ways, so we're actually bringing that IP available to people. This is a good example because it's not 100% XRM-like access, and it's not 100% mapped like CRM4. So I'm just using an example where it's in between and we get to do some tweaking on the metadata. So we can go ahead and pick an instance and press submit job. I'm not going to do that today because it could take a little while to analyze that metadata. I'll just show you an example that I finished recently. You'll notice that there are a number of things that we found. There's a large number of entities, a large number of attributes, pick list items, tabs, relationships. There's a lot of data that has been found in this source that we might want to bring over to a target. So we'll go ahead and run through those. We even pick up on small errors and log them. We don't fail. We try and bring as much data across as we can so that you can analyze what's in front of you when you're involved in one of these kind of migration projects. Yeah. So in this case, this data is now available for analysis. And I could use Power BI to go and have a look at that. So again, we've got a lot of model already set up. This runs through our web services. So maybe I would want to have a look at entities. There's a list of entity names there. But maybe I want to see which ones have the largest number of attributes. So I'll grab the field names and I'll drop that into values. So it's not you guys are probably better than Power BI than I am, but you can now see there's lots of entities in this source system and lots of different attributes on them. But maybe this helps me in my project estimation or knowing what's ahead of me. I could actually sort this by the number of fields and see which entities might be the most complex in my source system when I start to bring that data over. So lots of power there, and we can have a look at those. There are other Power BI templates that we've put together. We're still tweaking these, but these will be available and embedded in the application when it does come to preview, just so you don't have to start from scratch. So imagine we've done our analysis. We know we want to bring some of this over to CRM Online to see what it looks like. I could start with a configuration file generation. It is a little bit laborious because I have to go through and pick all the metadata that hasn't matched. So what I've actually done is pre-done it, so you don't have to watch me click on loads of different records. But here's the iteration. I could actually hit copy, and it will copy a previous mapping that I've done. In this case, it's going to have a target CRM where I'm going to go and put this file once it's done. I could actually specify a new one, but it's remembered the credentials from previous ones just to make it a bit easier for you. I get to choose my publisher as well. So this is not just going to dump it in the default solution. You get to specify what the publisher name is, what version of the solution that's going to be generated. And then what we'll do is we'll package it up with that just to help you. So if you need to store different versions or store it under different publishers, you have those options. I'm going to go ahead and press next. And this is where the fun starts. So on the left-hand side, we have all of the attributes, all the entities we found in our source, whether it's our Access database, whether it's CRM or Salesforce in this case. We do have the ability to apply all the default mappings. This is if we happen to know there is something that's similar between two systems, like we can automatically specify these without you having to go through and click on every line. This is obviously much higher in something like a CRM4 versus Access, where we just have no mapping whatsoever to start with. In this case, I'm looking to bring over information on the account entity, but also a couple of custom entities. So I have the ability to say I've got this XRM style widget and also a widget type entity, and I'm going to bring them over to CRM. In this case, I've got an organizationally owned widget type. It's something that's not going to be owned by a user, and the widget itself, which is going to be owned by a user. So I get to specify that by picking that in a dropdown. If I look at any one of these, you get to see a new organizationally owned, new user owned, or any of the target CRM entities. Hopefully that makes sense. Once you do get to the point that you have your entities mapped, then we can go ahead and start mapping the attributes. So this is where I didn't want to go through all of this with you line by line. Again, we do have the apply default mappings button for all of the mappings that we know about. But again, there might be something like, I think in this case, I happen to have service level SLAs, expiration dates and serial numbers, which don't exist in my target. They're not automatically mapped, so I've chosen to add new attributes to this out-of-the-box entity. Widget and widget type are actually, you know, they're brand new, so I have to specify everything. And here you see I also get to choose, when it's a brand new entity, what the primary attribute is. Now, in CRM, we always have to have a string, which is the primary attribute. So if you've got a table, say, in Access that has just the latitude and longitude of something, it doesn't have a name, we're going to have to go and add an additional string attribute so that when it comes across to CRM, CRM has that primary attribute. So that's the only extra step you need to do. I can go ahead and submit this job. This is going to go behind the scenes and start creating a CRM solution file. Let me just zoom in on that a little. And you can see it's going to initialize the CRM instance on our back end, and it's going to create custom entities, custom attributes, relationships. And it's even going to try and create the forms, the layouts that it saw, also the views that are surrounded that as well. And it's going to generate those solution files and store them in Azure against this project so you can come and download them whenever you need to. This can take a little while. The job will pick it up in a second. But again, I've made sure I had a copy of it ready to go. So if I have a look at the details of the previous one, we can see here it created two new custom entities, which was widget and widget type, and all the attributes associated with them. There was a new relationship between those two entities. We created three new forms, 25 new views, which is pretty good. When it saved the solutions, they're now available to download. So you can see here I can just download the managed or unmanaged solutions that contain this metadata. So maybe I'll download the managed solution of that. Okay, so now I have my solution. I can actually just go and fire up my CRM and import it to see what's going on. I'm going to zoom in a little bit on CRM for you. And just so we're not cheating on this, I'm going to pull up Advanced Find and show you that I don't have any of this metadata at the moment in my CRM. So if I have a look at my dropdown of resources or entities, I don't have any widget or widget types here at the bottom. So what I can do is head over to the settings area. I think a lot of people know this already. We're going to go to solutions. We're going to import this new managed solution that I just created. Import. Browse. I'm going to go to my downloads. I just downloaded that solution. And this should only take a second because it's only got a few entities in it. Oh, my pop-up blocker. Always allow. Yes. Really should turn off your pop-up blocker when you're doing a demo. So that should refresh, and this has happened to me before. It will have imported in the background. Let's go to settings, solutions. And we'll see that the demo solution with the provider that we specified in our configuration and the version we asked for is now available. If I it says record now available. Still working, it's still importing. So the nice thing is it's hopefully going to import fairly soon, and we'll see that this metadata is available for us. So really, we have not had to retype a lot of these things. Sometimes we get mistakes. Sometimes it's, you know, there's a lot of extra typing in there, like especially pick lists and things like that, where you have to make sure that when you do that data migration, they're going to match. So this is where this can help. We know it's not going to be something that's used an awful lot, but you know, if we can help in certain areas, we want to bring this IP to you and let you play with it. So let's have a look if this is still available. Okay. Yep, we can see here that account, widget, and widget type are the only things included in here. The prefix from our provider is properly set, and we have all the things we need. So let me fire up Advanced Find. One thing we haven't done is brought it into the sitemap, so I'm just going to use Advanced Find to get to the solution. Okay, let's have a look at my widgets. Now, one of the things you'll notice is as soon as you get there, we do have a lot of support for bringing over views. So if there's definitions in Excel or Access and things like that, we can actually bring them in as a view. And in this case, because these have functions behind them, we can even set up those functions and bring them in as part of the metadata. So in this case, my text on the widget has to contain 1, 2, 3, or it's going to be the checkbox is true and the number is greater than 1. So that's actually a fairly complex filter that's been managed to be brought across as part of this metadata migration. Let me have a look at the results and show you the page. This is the basic information form. We don't change the main information form out of the box because we're not 100% sure if you've changed it either. So what we do is we just add new forms. So even the layout from our source system is being brought across and allowing us to lay this out as best we can. There's always going to be limitations when we try and automate this, but instead of you having to drag out every section and field, you know, we'll give it a good go so that you can play with it. Okay. So let me just switch back to, I believe it's 7. So what's the roadmap on this? It's not available today, but very, very soon in Q4, I want to bring this out in a beta, which is getting select individuals to play with it and make sure that we're ironing out the bugs. I want to support a subset of the source types to start with for certain participants. And we're going to do Power BI reporting through Power BI Desktop because we haven't got Power BI embedded in this just yet. Q1 of 2017 is really when I want the preview to kick off, hopefully sooner. But this would be where we have the running through the main preview program. We're using embedded Power BI, so we don't have to have the advanced skills of Power BI Desktop and connecting to endpoints and all the fun stuff you have to do there. We also want to be able to do one-click deployment of solutions. So you saw me import it, but it should be very straightforward for me to just click a button and send that solution to my target CRM. In the future, there are a few things we want to do, which is on our backlog, and that's to incorporate, obviously, any feedback we get through this preview program. I want to expand to more source types because I'm sure there's other IP that Microsoft has generated through many other projects. You know, whether we're trying to get Excel, you know, people run a lot of the business on Excel, but maybe we want to use that to bring that in as well. So we're exploring those different source types. I also want to try and support things like reports and dashboards if possible, if they're supported in these other sources. and maybe even project style grouping. So I might have migrated my widgets just then, but that's only a subset, and I don't want to do everything in one project, but how do I keep track of how much of my source I've kind of covered off? So that's my to-do list. All right. Okay, on the second side, data loader. Now, we've done metadata, and obviously that's only one half of the equation. Bringing data into CRM has always been a little bit difficult. There's some amazing partner solutions out there, and we're not trying to take away from those at all. This is really just filling that gap where we can try and use some of the closeness we have between Azure and our cloud solutions to bring some high performance to data imports. Obviously, we can't get as complex as some of those solutions, but you'll see that this might be useful in certain scenarios. So what is data loader? Again, it's part of LCS. We want to enable users to do bulk upload. Again, it's web-based, it's wizard-driven, and we want to try and make it fast. That's one of the main things is, can we leverage all of our experience between our engineering teams to try and work out how to get data into CRM at a high rate? It's always been very difficult because of security trimming and auditing and all the fun stuff we do, and we don't hit the database directly. This is all going to be using our APIs as well. The high volume as well is, with high volumes of data, you tend to have certain issues with that data, and it can cause issues when you try and import and things fail and you have to retry. So we want to work around some of those issues. It's also secure. Again, Azure Key Vault is being used to store any sensitive information while we're in this process, so you can be sure that when you upload those flat files of data, we're keeping good encryption and control over them. So another how does it work slide. In this case, Data Loader has a one-time configuration. So when I first use it, I point it at my target CRM, and we have a deployer service that goes ahead and deploys runtimes into our Azure subscription. So this is all behind the scenes. This is Microsoft's Azure subscription. These runtimes, again, use a lot of the Azure services to support this project. And what it does is it takes the metadata from CRM Online and brings it into the runtime. The idea behind this being, if I know what the option sets are, what the values are, what the relationships are, how long are fields, is it 100 characters, 20 characters, I want to know all of that and test all of that before I even try and do the data migration. That's going to make sure that a lot of these things are much more successful once they get to CRM Online, that they're going to actually get in and not be thrown out because we've broken one of the metadata rules that you've defined in your metadata. When we do import jobs, if we do find issues with your data, there's actually an extension to Excel, so that the data comes down to Excel, we get to tweak that data and refresh it without having to re-upload all of my source data. So it just gives you the delta and you get to deal with that. And then we can push the data to CRM. This is also an iterative process. So in that case, you know, we can push as much as we can. Next time we do it, we end up only pushing the delta. There are a few tips and tricks to this. I've done it a few times with some smaller projects, and I've kind of collected these over time, so I wanted to share these with you. One is to cleanse the data. There's a few things here. I mean, it makes sense, but specifically to Data Loader, we want to remove the unnecessary columns, because when we're putting this in SQL Azure Storage, it causes greater and greater computation when we're trying to make sure this metadata is being met. So if there's extra columns there you're not going to bring over, just make sure it doesn't get up there, and it'll help your performance. We need to add fields that support CRM data patterns. So we'll get into that in a couple of slides' time. Split up files where required. So when we're going to upload this data, we're going to see today that I'm going to be dealing with closed opportunities, because I've already dealt with my open opportunities. The difference is subtle, but really it makes sense because the data is either going to be estimated revenue or it's going to be actual revenue, depending on whether it's open or closed. So I've gone and split that data up to make my life easier. I also wanted to remove placeholder null values. Sometimes you see null as a string. We want to delete those out so that it's actually null in the CSV. That really does help some of the performance because it doesn't have to keep checking them. The target metadata in your CRM instance really has to have those new entities and fields, both new and existing entities. So if there's a new option set coming to account, I want to make sure it's there. If there's an entirely new entity, I want to make sure it's there so that when we read that metadata, we get to see it. We also will reduce the bottlenecks by disabling all plugins, and that includes the Microsoft ones. You can just go into the configuration of CRM, go to the plugin steps, select all, disable, and that really, really helps performance because we're not going and firing off all of these extra messages to record stuff on the activity wall, for example. We disable auditing, obviously, and we ensure that all of the target data owners have the right security roles, because when we reassign all this data to the users that you want it to be assigned to, if they don't have the right security for it, CRM throws it out. And again, then we have to start again. So that's another tip and trick I've run into. You come back for breakfast overnight, it's all loaded, and it's all failed because the user didn't have the right security role. So it's definitely worth checking that. We also have this thing called record created on. Some people know about it. It's if we map any created dates to this field, when we import the data, it looks like it was created at that original date. It's not the date that it's imported. So that's a really good one to start mapping to. We also want to make sure that we have alternate keys. So we support everything from, I think, 2015 on when we introduced the alternate key system. So this allows us to define an alternate key, and then that really helps when we do the iteration, because if we can find that record's already there with the alternate key, we don't have to recreate it. We don't get duplicate data. So again, that's pretty key. Okay. I did mention there's this going to be this mapping of schema to schema. In this case, I've got a data set that has two bits, is closed and is one. If it's both zero, we know it's still open, this opportunity. If it's closed, it's obviously a one. If it was one, it's also a one, but if it was lost, it was a zero. It's very, very straightforward. It's great data that's come from another system, but CRM doesn't work like that. CRM has a schema name of state code and status code, which are the status and status reason on the record. And we need to map that, so we want to make sure we're doing that ahead of time, because we don't have the tools inside Data Loader to create these new computations on the fly. So in this example, I have a stage name. I chose the stage name instead of the bits to do this, but I need to add these two new columns to my data set. And then for opportunities specifically in CRM, we have particular statuses and status reasons, and we need to fill them in our data set to make sure that when we import, it's going to make sense. We also want to split the file. So in this case, this file has both open and closed opportunities, some of them won, some of them lost. What I'm going to do is take all of my closed opportunities and move them one way. I'm going to take my open opportunities, move them into a different file, and that means I can map them differently. So in this case, the amount and close date are going to map to actual revenue and actual close date when I do my mapping, and estimated revenue and estimated close date are going to be the ones I map when I do my open opportunities. This is just something that our tool can't handle in the cloud, so you want to make sure you've prepped the data in such a way that it makes sense. And this does help, actually, when you start with it, maybe open opportunities, make sure everything's working fine, and then we'll move on to the closed ones, which are usually less important in the initial stages of the migration. Okay, so we're going to do a quick demo of Data Loader and see what it looks like. Close that out. Close that out. Okay, so it looks a lot like LCS. It looks a lot like the metadata migrator, and that's for good reason. We want to try and make sure these are easy to follow. Again, the controls are on the left-hand side. I can do a new data import. The one-time configuration we talked about before is under CRM connections. So if I have a look at this, this is where I've told Data Loader, this is my CRM instance, and this is the credentials you need to go get it. And that's when we create a runtime. You'll notice here there's a last CRM metadata refresh. That's the last time that Data Loader went and refreshed that metadata. So if you found you've missed an option set, you've missed a particular field, you could go put that in your target instance and just refresh it. You don't have to start from scratch. Let's go back to start. So what I've done is I've actually imported my accounts, contacts, and open opportunities already, just to give us some base, because you know you don't want to sit here and watch it add data to a CRM system. But what I'll do is I'll maybe have a look at my closed opportunities, which we talked about before. A little bit harder to see, but let me bring this up a little bit. I've actually added already the two columns we talked about. What I'm going to do is bring these into CRM and use those instead of trying to do some special mapping with the original stage name. Okay, so I'm going to hit new import, and this is going to take me through. I get to pick which instance. So in this case, I've actually got two instances of CRM that I'm importing data into. I'm going to pick my Ignite Migrate, and this is going to be closed ops demo. Now this is pretty straightforward. It's going to say I want some files to support this. So we have the ability to define different file types. In this case, it's just going to be a CSV with headings. And the opportunity entity is what I'm importing into. Again, you can use the keyboard if you want to just quickly get through that big list. And I'm going to upload from my source data. And one trick here is to send to a compressed folder first and open that. So it quite easily recognizes the zip file and expands it once it gets to the server. So again, this is a way of getting the data up there a little bit quicker. It's going to process that file, unzip it, and pull it all out into staging. If I press next, you can see it's actually gone and looked at. One thing to note is you can do multiple files. There could be lots of different types of entities here, and you could do lots of different mappings all in one run. You don't have to do it file by file. In this case, I'm just doing one file to make it straightforward. In this case, Opportunity has got four things automatically mapped because of the headings. If your headings actually match, it will do more automatic mapping for you. In this case, some of my headings didn't actually match CRM data, so I have to pick them. This is something interesting. Here, my ID field for these opportunities, I want to store it so that I can go ahead and refresh this later on. I've created a field called Alt ID, which is just a string field. I'm going to store that there. And when we look at the parent customer, is it company name? This is where it gets interesting. Potential customer, Alt ID. I'm going to pick the Alt ID version of it. So I've put an alternate ID on account. I want to make sure I use that, not just the account ID, so that I can use that index. Stage name I'm not going to use. In this case, it's closed, so this is going to be actual revenue and actual close date. The owner ID we have to change. This is a tip. I keep missing this myself. Make sure you pick the owner ID with your alternate key. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to look them up. And the creator date is going to be the record created on. So pretty straightforward. I'm going to go ahead and press next on that. All I need to do is start that job, and it's going to start creating a SQL store in Azure and importing all of that data into it with those mappings ready to go. So we'll see that here. It's now going to start staging the data. There's 272 records in this file, and it's just going to start staging. So it shouldn't take too long, but I wanted to show you it wasn't just two or three records. It's going to be importing and mapping those entities in memory now. And it would do this for multiple files. So if you had opportunities, accounts, contacts, it would automatically sequence which ones needed to go first. Even if you uploaded opportunities, then accounts, then contacts, it would know to do your accounts, then your contacts, then your opportunities based on the relationships. It's actually pretty smart that way. So it staged all of those 272 records into our SQL Azure store. It's giving us a quick preview of some of that data. We can see here there's some won, some canceled. And I'm going to go ahead and validate this. There's actually this button here where I say validate. That's going to use the metadata like we talked about to make sure that all the data that we've imported matches what's going to happen, going to work as it walks into CRM. It's going to be successful. Excuse me. So just give it a second to run that, because what we've got is definitely got some issues in this file. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a very good demo. A few, okay, all of them failed. That's brilliant. Okay, so we need to fix their entire data set. We can have a look at the fail tab and see why this failed. In this case, could not find a contact with this particular ID. So I should have taken 2 seconds longer and picked the account instead of the contact, because these are actually pointing at accounts. So what I'll do is I'll update all of these so that they're attached to a contact instead of re-importing all of this. So let's go ahead and open this in Excel, because Excel's pretty good at allowing me to filter and change things. It's going to let me open up a workbook. And I'm going to enable editing so that it kicks in with its little sidebar here. You see this Microsoft Dynamics sidebar? It's going to give me an auth error because I've signed in by about four or five different accounts on this at the moment. And I'm going to sign in as Kuntal, new. I almost said the password out loud. So because it's authenticated, we now have this person, and it's loaded all of the issues we found into Excel for me. And we can see here that this one has a contact that's missing. Let's zoom in on it for you, because my screen is much higher resolution. Also, the status code is wrong. It says it's got a value of canceled, which is not valid for the status reason. It turns out British people spell it with two L's, and Serum Online spells it with one L, which is something that caught me out yesterday, so I left it in here. So really, I've just made a big spelling mistake because of my background, and so I'll have to fix those as well. All right, so let's go ahead and fix that as a first step. Let's find all of the ones that were lost. And I'm going to change that to 1L. And just changing it in Excel like this, shift, end, down, I've now fixed that entire column. And that was very, very quick and straightforward. I didn't have to go back to my source file, fix it, and re-upload. Let me bring back the rest of the records. I'm going to have to change the customer ID. Obviously, this is one that I've broken. So customer ID, I need to pick one from my CRM. And I may have closed it, sorry. Lots of different passwords as well, always not good. So Ignite Migrate is another CRM instance I have that's going to allow me to bring this data in. It's the one we've been working with the data loader. So I'm just going to pick myself a contact that'll save my demo. In this case, they're all going to be owned by this person. I actually, ahead of time, made sure that the alternate IDs were on the form, just in case something like this happened. So we can see here that there's an alternate ID. I'm going to copy that, and I'm going to make sure that this person owns all of these records. So the customer ID for contact, shift, end, down. Okay, just fix that. I don't think there are any other issues, so I'm going to go ahead and publish this by just clicking the button in the right-hand side. And this connector on the right-hand side works out the changes that you did in Excel and just updates those in our SQL Azure store. And we can keep doing this. If we find more errors, we can just download a new Excel file with hopefully less rows, less rows, less rows, until we get to a point where our data is okay. In this case, you can see I'm missing, no, they're all now saying not started, which is great. So I'll close that out. Let's close this down. I need my data loader. So all I need to do is hit refresh. And we now have 272 that are not imported. So it's just found that out. I'm going to go ahead and import into CRM now. And it's possible that a couple of these will fail because I don't want to run through doing a second validate in front of you. But you know, most of them will now go into CRM. It's gone ahead and started. And you can see that, again, if there were multiple files, they would be all listed here on the import history on the left-hand side. And it would run through them in the right order. And it would start importing these records. The nice thing is if something does fail, you get to fix that. And using the alternate keys, we get to just push back the delta. So we don't have to start from start. Just going to give this a second for the worker process. But we can see here one failed and 271 were imported, which is great. If I go ahead and look at my opportunities, and I look for my closed opportunities, which is there, we can see that this person I just picked to fix my data, Adrienne, Aleem now owns all of these because I just fudged my data to make sure it worked. But all of these have been brought in. They've got the right status codes in CRM. They've been closed. They've been brought in and closed in the second stage as part of the import. And you know, we now have all of our data in. In this case, I've got top customers, but I also put in an opportunity by created date. So you can see here all the created dates are 2013, 2014 in my data set. So we know that this has brought in the data in a way that makes sense. It's not all closed today. Okay. All right. So they drop this slide in. I think there's different links that you can go to afterwards to find out extra information from these resources. And obviously, feedback is greatly appreciated. I think I went a little bit quickly. So, but what I can do is go back over any of these pieces that that make sense for you. So if there are questions, I'd love to start. Oh, previous slide? Sure. All the slides are available to download as well afterwards, so you should have access to all of this. Data Loader is in private preview now, yep. And the Metadata Migrator, it should be in the next few weeks. Sorry, is the question just here first? Yes. There was actually two lines there, and they both had the same name. It's actually on our backlog to actually put a descriptor to say, it says potential customer alt ID, potential customer alt ID, which is not very helpful. We need to know which of those two relationships, and I actually fell into the trap of picking the wrong one. So that will be fixed as part of that process, yeah. So that was part of the making sure we're using alternate keys. So if we bring in a bunch of information and we've failed that transaction because of their dependency, it ends up in the failed list. So maybe we go ahead and start another project to get all my dependencies in there and go back and rerun that delta. It will make sure they come in. There are some limits to this right now. Things like many to many is very difficult for us to, because you've got dependency all the time. Also things like activity party, when it comes to activities, is also something that's on the backlog to be supported. It's those special cases where we have some issues. Yes, that's an interesting question. We've got some thoughts on it, but it's actually a very difficult problem. I think it sounds like you might have run into it before, right? Sure. That'd be very kind. Yeah, no, it's an interesting problem, yeah, for sure. No, perfect, thank you. Sorry, I think there was a question over here I might have missed. On the left, no? Okay. What method are you using during the import? Yeah, so we do. We when we spin up those runtimes that I showed, they actually scale. So we start off, and then when you start the actual process, we can scale them up and then run lots of things in parallel. Execute multiple only supports two in parallel, obviously, and we're gonna run into locking anyway. So it's more about making sure that the runtime is provisioned as close as possible to your Serum Online instance so that it's very, very close on our network. And then making sure that we're not gonna have any exceptions come out of CRM. That's where we get a lot of the speed from. But yeah, it's API only. We're not going into the database because of supportability reasons. I've done some PowerShell before where I've just used it and done it myself, so I know we could put it into the product. It's something that's been suggested, so it's definitely if there's more need for it, I can put a little flag in there that says please disable, then re-enable. But it is very straightforward to go. Actually, all those records, I had an alternate key on owner, user, and then my owner ID was, I picked the alt key to make sure that all the right users got assigned the record as on creation. So there's not a second step where it's me and then I'm assigning it. It's them up from creation. The other thing to note is you can import disabled users so that if you've got historic information, they still own that information. So there's some of the tricks that we do around making sure you've got disabled users being imported so they don't take a Serum Online license. But then they can still own some of that old data. Sorry. Data Loader is available right now. There is a blog on it that tells you how to do it, but the URL in the blog is actually wrong. So don't be frustrated when you go and read it. I've actually asked one of my content people to sort that out for you. But really, you just go along. That one you don't need a code for. You just, as long as you go to the URL and sign into LCS and accept the terms, then you're in. Obviously, come to me if you've got some of these bigger projects. We've got some people doing tens of millions of records using this, and we manually super scale the back end for that for those kind of jobs to make sure that it performs. So we can work on some of that.
Are there any file size or row count size limitations right now?
The limitations are on SQL Azure. So if there is a limit, which is pretty high, I'm sure, on SQL Azure, because it's not full SQL Server, it's a SQL Azure table storage, I think we use. So if there's a limit there, then that's what we're going to run into. And we're just going to break it down by that. Yeah, it's a good question. We haven't had a good way of being able to take someone's database and then host it somewhere to extract data. And unless you're going to put a web-enabled front end on it so we can get the data, it's hard for us to get it in the service. So for now, it's CSV, but you should be able to extract from your database a flat file that we can store. There is not really, not with this service, no. No, but there is another service you may have heard of, which if you do have a CRM database, an old one you want to bring online, there is a separate initiative to take on-premise databases to online automatically. So it's worth looking that up. There was a session actually, I think, on Friday for that.
So within CRM, obviously there's been the import utility, which is very limited, and there has been no investment lately. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're two different use cases. I think that's always going to exist for, hey, I'm a sales guy and I've got a bunch of leads from a conference I went to in a CSV, and I need to import it into my leads table. Whereas people were trying to use that use case for major data migrations originally, and that's why you got some of these great tools come out from partners, because it wasn't very good for that type of work. Whereas today, this is going to fill that gap. So I think the two can still exist. They've just got different use cases. Actually, LCS itself, I think it doesn't actually have any security in LCS itself, but when you specify your sources and targets, we're always asking for credentials. So obviously we need to be able to read metadata in one case, or we need to be able to write. So typically it's going to be an admin if you're doing a migration, and just make sure that, again, that there's roles associated with the users that are going to own the data. That would make sense. Great point. And it depends on, actually, we've seen a few different things. We're averaging, I think, around 150 records per second on normal stuff, which is, I think, is over 500,000 an hour. But I've seen it go as high as 300, 400, 500 when it's very simple. It starts slowing down as soon as you have lookups, and if there's a large number of columns. So certain factors will change it. But I've seen in everything I've been doing, I'm getting between 100 and 200 without really like trying to have to tweak my data set. And we're continuing to work on that. You know, that we don't want that to be the gold standard is 100 to 200 records per second. We want to get as high as possible. So we'll keep investing in that. And that's why some of these projects where there's tens of millions of records, we're scaling up Azure to silly sizes to make sure that we're getting very, very high processing power to help us get those higher numbers of 500 records per second. So we can talk about that if there's a very large project and you want to leverage it. That's not a problem. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. I know it was a little bit of a dry topic for the end of the day. And again, yeah, feedback's important. Hopefully my mess up wasn't going to cost me on the demo. No problem. Yeah. Yeah, he's got the record now. Yeah?
9,000 records.
Wow. 9,000. That's pretty awesome.
I've got a question.
Sure.
I've actually been using Dataloader to import several hundred thousand records. I'm running into an issue and I've been able to resolve it, but I'm wondering if there's a better way of doing it.
Okay.
So I'm migrating data from CRM on prem to online.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I've been able to extract the data from
through the API. Yeah. Okay.
So I've been able to import that. Is there a better way?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah, so if you're in CRM 2015, 26, anything above, you've got what's called alternate keys. So if you added a field to the user entity in CRM Online that's called, you know, my unique key, whatever it is, it's just a string. Maybe that's the email address of the user on premise, you know, something that's unique to them. Fill that in, and then when you do your data migration, refresh it, and you'll see, you'll have an extra field called alternate key on the user table. So whenever you're mapping an owner of an opportunity account, whatever it is, make sure you pick owner alternate key, and make sure that in your import data, instead of having GUID, you've just got the unique key, whether it's the email address, whatever it is, and we'll use that alternate key to find it, and then we don't care about GUIDs anymore. And you can use that on all entities. So if you've got accounts and they've got account numbers, if you've got contacts and it's got email addresses, you know, something that's unique, we can always use it with an alternate key. So it's a good way of prepping the data. Yeah. Cool. No worries.
Hey, I have a question around security. We've been using this for a little bit.
Okay.
But one of our biggest reasons for not rolling it out was because we have to make the user of this admin of Office 365.
Oh, really?
Is that gone?
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that. Maybe that's something that's been overlooked in our testing. So that's one of those preview programs. It's good to get that feedback.